Escuelas Oficiales de Idiomas de la Comunidad de Madrid. Pruebas de certificación. Comprensión de textos orales. Inglés. Certificado de nivel intermedio B2. Convocatoria de junio de 2024.
This test has three tasks. You will hear each task twice. Task 1. You will hear some extracts. For each extract, choose the heading that best matches the information you have heard. Then write the letter in the corresponding white box. There are two headings you will not need. Extract 0 is an example. Now read the headings. Extract 0.
Students all over the world are struggling with their education. And though we didn't come up with a fail-safe solution, we did come up with a simple idea. That in order for kids like Dee to not only survive in school, but to thrive, we somehow had to figure out a way to not only teach them how to read and write, but also how to help them deal with and manage their own emotions. And in doing that, we were able to move our school from one of the lowest performing schools in the state of Ohio with an F rating all the way up to a C in just a matter of a few years.
Extract number 1.
Every year, 50 million children go through the U.S. school system. And out of that, 40 million, that is 4 out of 5 children, come from underserved or immigrant families. I realize that I'm one of the lucky ones because the law of averages will tell you that these children are likely to fall behind by 2 whole school years. This costs the U.S. economy almost $1 trillion every year. But it doesn't have to be that way. In fact, research says that for a student to do well, a family's engagement is more important than that family's wealth.
Extract number 2.
In the U.S., 51% of Americans live in areas called childcare deserts, where there's not enough childcare. And what this shortage does is it leaves parents having to choose between their careers and childcare. Even in places where there's free childcare or public pre-K options, there's not enough spots. So parents are forced to drive across town for options that don't meet their needs. They're forced to wait in these really long wait lists. So what if we could live in a world where we did have enough childcare? What if we empowered more people to start childcare programs out of their homes?
Extract number 3.
One of the real challenges is to innovate fundamentally in education. Innovation is hard, because it means doing something that people don't find very easy for the most part. It means challenging what we take for granted. There are things we're enthralled to in education. Let me give you a couple of examples. One of them is the idea of linearity, that it starts here and you go through a track, and if you do everything right, you will end up set for the rest of your life. The other big issue is conformity, We have built our education systems on the model of fast food, where everything is standardized.
Extract number 4.
Both my parents were educators. And for the past 40 years, I've done the same thing. And so needless to say, over those years, I've had a chance to look at education reform from a lot of perspectives. Some of those reforms have been good. Some of them have been not so good. And we know why kids drop out. We know why kids don't learn. It's either poverty, low attendance, negative peer influences. We know why. But one of the things that we never discuss, or we rarely discuss, is the value and importance of human connection.
Extract number 5.
We all need people who will give us feedback. That's how we improve. Unfortunately, there's one group of people who get almost no systematic feedback to help them do their jobs better. I'm talking about teachers. Today, districts are revamping the way they evaluate teachers, but we still give them almost no feedback that actually helps them improve their practice. Our teachers deserve better. The system we have today isn't fair to them. It's not fair to students, and it's putting America's global leadership at risk.
Extract number 6.
Only half of the developing countries have systematic learning assessment at primary school, and even less so at lower secondary school. That's why the first big transformation before investing is to make education system deliver results. Because pouring more money in broken systems may only fund more inefficiencies. And what deeply worries me, if children go to school and don't learn, it devalues education, and it devalues spending in education.
Extract number 7.
In a traditional academic model, we group students together, usually by age and around middle school age and perceived ability, and we shepherd them all together at the same pace. And what typically happens, let's say we're in a middle school pre-algebra class and the current unit is on exponents. The teacher will give a lecture on exponents, then we'll go home, do some homework. The next morning we'll review the homework. That'll continue for about 2 or 3 weeks, and then we get a test. And on that test, maybe I get a 75%, maybe you get a 90%, maybe you get a 95%. And even though that test has identified gaps in our knowledge, the whole class will then move on to the next subject.
Now, listen again. Extract number 1.
Every year, 50 million children go through the U.S. school system. And out of that, 40 million, that is 4 out of 5 children, come from underserved or immigrant families. I realize that I'm one of the lucky ones because the law of averages will tell you that these children are likely to fall behind by 2 whole school years. This costs the U.S. economy almost $1 trillion every year. But it doesn't have to be that way. In fact, research says that for a student to do well, a family's engagement is more important than that family's wealth.
Extract number 2.
In the U.S., 51% of Americans live in areas called childcare deserts, where there's not enough childcare. And what this shortage does is it leaves parents having to choose between their careers and childcare, even in places where there's free childcare or public pre-K options. There's not enough spots. So parents are forced to drive across town for options that don't meet their needs. They're forced to wait in these really long wait lists. So what if we could live in a world where we did have enough childcare? What if we empowered more people to start childcare programs out of their homes?
Extract number 3.
One of the real challenges is to innovate fundamentally in education. Innovation is hard because it means doing something that people don't find very easy for the most part. It means challenging what we take for granted. There are things we're enthralled to in education. Let me give you a couple of examples. One of them is the idea of linearity, that it starts here and you go through a track, and if you do everything right, you will end up set for the rest of your life. The other big issue is conformity. We have built our education systems on the model of fast food, where everything is standardized.
Extract number 4.
Both my parents were educators, and for the past 40 years, I've done the same thing. And so needless to say, over those years, I've had a chance to look at education reform from a lot of perspectives. Some of those reforms have been good, some of them have been not so good. And we know why kids drop out. We know why kids don't learn. It's either poverty, low attendance, negative peer influences. We know why. But one of the things that we never discuss, or we rarely discuss, is the value and importance of human connection.
Extract number 5.
We all need people who will give us feedback. That's how we improve. Unfortunately, there's one group of people who get almost no systematic feedback to help them do their jobs better. I'm talking about teachers. Today, districts are revamping the way they evaluate teachers, but we still give them almost no feedback that actually helps them improve their practice. Our teachers deserve better. The system we have today isn't fair to them. It's not fair to students, and it's putting America's global leadership at risk.
Extract number 6.
Only half of the developing countries have systematic learning assessment at primary school, and even less so at lower secondary school. That's why the first big transformation before investing is to make education system deliver results. Because pouring more money in broken systems may only fund more inefficiencies. And what deeply worries me, if children go to school and don't learn, it devalues education and it devalues spending in education.
Extract number 7.
In a traditional academic model, we group students together, usually by age and around middle school age and perceived ability, and we shepherd them all together at the same pace. And what typically happens, let's say we're in a middle school pre-algebra class and the current unit is on exponents. The teacher will give a lecture on exponents, then we'll go home, do some homework. The next morning we'll review the homework. That'll continue for about 2 or 3 weeks, and then we get a test. And on that test, maybe I get a 75%, maybe you get a 90%, maybe you get a 95%. And even though that test has identified gaps in our knowledge, the whole class will then move on to the next subject.
This is the end of task one.